Michigan, Madison, North Florida, everyone listening by computer, and everyone who are downloading from our website, welcome to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be coming to you through WMAF. And we're so happy to be part of the broadcast family. We hope that you're enjoying being part of our listening family. And if you're a first-time listener to this broadcast, we welcome you especially today. We believe God's Word is going to stir us deep within to do the mighty work, the greatest work that we could possibly ever do for the Lord in these last days, and that is to intercede that others may come to know Him. I'm not just talking about now sharing our testimony, as important as that is. There's something even more important than that, and that is that we begin to pray effectively for people that do not know Christ as their Savior, beginning with their own family circle, but not stopping there, going on to our community, to our country, to our nation, and to the nations of the world. Praise God. Amen. We've been called to a priestly ministry of intercession in the New Testament, and every child of God is qualified. I'm going to say that again. Every child of God is highly qualified for this important, vital ministry of the church that we're all a part of. Praise God. So regardless of the shingle hanging over your door, if you're a born-again child of God, you are a royal priesthood according to the Scripture, and highly qualified by the Lord Himself through delegated authority to pray in intercession for those who know not Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. You know, every time we get into a teaching that seems to really become a threat to the enemy, to Satan, all kinds of things begin to come up. And in my personal experience, all kinds of things begin to go wrong. It seems like that we stir up a hornet's nest spiritually because we are interfering with the destructive work of the enemy. And we are fighting a victorious battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Praise God. So you stay tuned today. Get in this battle with me, because I've been in this thing too long to back off when the enemy fights, because I know he fights what he fears. And if he fears us, it is because we are coming in through the anointing of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And he has every reason to be afraid. Praise God. Because if we keep faithful to the things of God, we're going to see mighty breakthroughs and mighty victories, and it's going to involve the prison house being opened and many, many souls being swept in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about the mighty revival that God wants to bring about through us. I'm going to say it again this week. Someone said, and it's back in the old days, the old timers knew this, and we've kind of in the new modern church lost sight of it. But when God wants to do something big, He sets His people a praying, and He has set us a praying, and we pray that we can inspire you and instruct you today to pray. And if you're not a Christian, we want you to know that the reason God is stirring us to pray for people that don't know Him is because of the deep, deep love that He has for you. The Scriptures declare clearly He's not willing that any perish, but that all have eternal life. That was Christ's mission to this world, and it is our mission in our generation in His behalf. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to begin this study in just a moment. We're going to take our study today from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Just before we begin, we would say new listeners to this broadcast, we welcome you. If you would like to come to our website, type in THCOG. If you're hooked up to the World Wide Web, it will bring you to our homepage, and there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus there, and sermons that span down through the years. I have been pastor here in Tampa. We're working on our 38th year, praise God, of the Holy Church of God Incorporated. And I think you'll find some interesting, inspiring, instructive, anointed teachings right out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we would appreciate you coming. And if we can bless you through that website, we're so happy to be doing everything we know to do, using every tool at our disposal to reach others with the gospel and to inspire God's people to come together and pray for a mighty revival. Praise God. Amen. So having said that, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. We're speaking on the subject of praying for the lost, interceding for people who don't know Christ as their Savior. And in this series of teaching, we have talked about the fact that everyone that is lost, everyone that is without Jesus Christ in this world, are loved by God. God loved the world, the whole world, and everyone in it, enough to give His only begotten Son. Amen. And the second thing we learned in our study is that the lost are blinded by Satan. The god of this world has blinded the minds of men, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, if you go up to a blind man and start describing the blue sky and the white clouds, and he's been blind from birth and never has been able to see, he can't comprehend what you're telling him. This illumination that he needs can only come supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. But thank God the Holy Spirit is still with us, and he's still doing that mighty work of illumination. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we found out something else this week, that the lost are not only blinded by Satan, and we need a supernatural anointing to work with us, not just an intellectual, theological concept that we're so clear about that we can convince people in their mind alone. We need something spiritual to take place when we bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the lost are not only blinded by Satan, they are bound by Satan. And that's what we want to talk about today. He holds the lost captive in prisons of spiritual darkness. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. And let's read this together today. Amen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Listen very carefully. I want to make a statement in light of the scripture that we read, that the battle for the soul begins with the battle for the mind. Someone said, whoever controls the mind controls the soul, and whoever controls the soul controls the will, and whoever controls the will controls the life and the destiny. The lost, friend, are without a doubt bound by the devil. The Bible said the whole world in the New Testament lies in the power of the wicked one. He has the upper hand as far as the influences in this world. And it's the church that Jesus has called to be the light of the world. And that light shines when we intercede and begin to pray for people that are blinded and bound through that blindness by the enemy. That's the bad news, that people are blind and bound. The good news is that all of those people can be set free. Though the lost are blind and bound, they can be set free. Amen. It doesn't mean that they all are going to choose the light over the darkness, but they can be free to choose. They can understand the choice that they're making, because when we intercede in the name of Jesus Christ and plead the merits of His shed blood at the cross in behalf of everyone that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, amen, there is great spiritual authority released, and the mighty Holy Spirit does a work that only the mighty Holy Spirit can do. That is to illuminate and to loose those that are bound and blinded by the devil. I get excited when we realize the power of intercessory prayer. I want to read to you about it in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. Listen carefully. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have some questions answered here. What is a spiritual stronghold? Number one, a spiritual stronghold is any area of resistance against the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And number two, every stronghold begins in the mind and in the heart. And number three, a stronghold reflects always an attitude of pride against God. You know, when the Bible said that Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of men, that word blinded in the Greek means to obscure with smoke, like a smoked bottle. If you take a bottle that is clear and you throw it into a fire and it smokes it, you pull it out as it cools off, you can see just shadowy images, but you can't see anything distinctly through it. Listen to me carefully. If people that don't know Jesus could see two things, it would change their destiny and change their life before this radio broadcast is over. If they could see the wonder and the glory of the offer of salvation through Jesus, if they could see the glorious gospel, if they could see what God is offering them, there would be no sin stand in the way of receiving Jesus. And if they could see the terrifying destiny of lost people, they wouldn't sleep a wink tonight. They wouldn't go to bed and take the risk of losing their eternal soul to banishment and punishment forever. They would receive Christ as their Savior if they could see that. And we have the power. The Bible said, though we're just flesh and blood down here, but our warfare, the weapons we fight with, are not flesh and blood. That means you can have a theological degree from a seminary, and you can have the boldness to go out and tell people about Christ, but unless we are able to pray for that blindness to leave and that chains that bind people to be broken over them, we're not going to see people authentically, truly saved and set free. But we do have that authority. Though we walk after the flesh, we're just human beings. We do not war after the flesh. I'm telling you, when we start praying for the lost, we enter into a spiritual battle, amen, that we are sure to win, because we're praying the very mission of Jesus to this earth. We're praying the perfect, powerful will of God to save. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We should claim the tearing down of all the works of Satan, such as false doctrine, unbelief, false teaching, and hatred, which the enemy may have built up in their thinking, that their very thoughts might be brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. Pride that caused, you know, the Bible said that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And it goes on to say, if anyone comes to me with a humble and contrite spirit, I will in no wise turn them away. We have great authority today to pray that stronghold of pride would fall and people would humble themselves before a mighty God and receive His gift of salvation in the person of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have great authority through the finished work of Jesus at the cross to intercede and pray, amen, for men and women, boys and girls that don't know the Lord. In the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, we can claim their deliverance from the power and persuasion of the evil one, and from the love of the world and the lust of the flesh. We should pray also for the quickening of their conscience, and that God might grant unto them repentance and hearing ears and believing hearts as they hear or read the Word of God. Pray that God will and God's will and purposes would be accomplished in and then through them. Paul the Apostle had a holy mandate to counteract the forces of darkness, to set the blind and bound sinners free, so an opportunity to choose might be given them in spite of the devil's wiles and the devil's power. Let me read that to you from Acts 26:17-19. It said, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee," the Lord speaking to Paul about his ministry. And listen to what he said, verse 18, "to open their eyes." This is the spiritual eyes. Make no mistake about it. This is not praying for a blind man to get his physical sight back, because the weapons that we must use to see souls won, amen, are not after the flesh. This is not something for the body, amen. This is something for the spirit, the soul, and the mind, to open their eyes. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He's anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised," and listen to this, "to open the eyes of the blind." When most people hear that, they think of blind Bartimaeus, who cried out and Jesus opened his physical eyes so he could see in the natural. That is not the context of what Jesus read from Isaiah. We think of the man who was told to go wash his eyes after Jesus taking mud and making mud out of spit and rubbing it in his eyes from the sand. Said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," and he came seeing. His physical eyes were open. Paul's eyes, after being just literally lost their sight by seeing the glorious resurrected Christ, was prayed for, and his eyes once again saw spiritually, physically. But listen, we're talking about being able to see spiritual reality. See things of the Spirit clearly. See our lost condition. See our need for a Savior. And see Jesus as our great Savior. And calling upon the name of the Lord and experiencing the new birth and being set free from the shackles that blind us and bind us. Hallelujah. Listen, it starts with the opening of their eyes, spiritual illumination, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then he told the king, "O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." We need a heavenly vision of our clear mission, amen, as ministers and as Christians today. Every church should be a soul-saving station, and every minister should be pursuing this mighty ministry through intercession and then preaching boldly the Word of God, hallelujah, that we might see the captive set free. Praise God, because blind eyes become opened. As mighty and imposing as Satan's forces are, they are no match for God's power to save and to deliver. You know what it says in Colossians 1 and verse 13? It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." God, friend, has the love and power to save you today. Amen. To save anyone, for that matter. Do we have the compassion? Do we have the commitment to pray for those that Jesus came to save? I believe somebody, somewhere, interceded for your soul. And that's why, if you're a Christian, that's why you're a Christian today. I don't believe you became a Christian without intercession. I believe intercession is crucial to people coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. And if you don't know anyone that's praying for you, I guarantee you, Jesus prayed for you on the cross and prayed that God would forgive you your sin. Amen. And I guarantee you some minister somewhere in your city, your community, your county is praying that God would save souls. Amen. And I guarantee you there are Christians in other parts of the world. We got an email from Taiwan. I believe it was Taiwan where a Christian there was praying for us here for mighty revival here in the United States of America. Isn't it incredible that Christians in foreign lands see the need and take the responsibility to pray for us in America, that the Church of Jesus Christ here would not be unfruitful in evangelism, but that we would see a mighty move of God that would sweep many souls into the kingdom of God. One intercessor said this, and boy, I agree with this. Listen carefully. Intercession must be persistent, not to persuade God, for redemption is of God. But because of the enemy, our prayer and resistance are against the enemy, the awful powers and rulers of darkness. It is our duty before God to fight for the souls whom Christ died to save. Just as some must preach to them the good news of their redemption, just so others must fight back the powers of darkness on their behalf. C.H. Spurgeon was a great preacher, a great soul winner, a great intercessor, and he taught his people to intercede. One day someone wanted him to give them a tour of that great tabernacle where he preached, and so many souls were swept into the kingdom of God. And he took them down into the basement. He said, I want to show you the power plant in this church. I want to show you where all the power comes from. And people visualized, maybe because it was winter, as they walked down the steps into the basement of that great church, they visualized some great heating system or something down there, that it was some kind of mechanical, physical thing he was wanting to show them because of the size and scope of this church in that day. But when they walked down the steps, they heard the sound of many, many voices praying and interceding and crying out to God for the lost. Amen. He clearly understood that it took more than just preaching to see people set free. There had to be a very, very personal, precise victory won over the enemy to see his captive set free. How can you describe the glory of the gospel to someone so spiritually blind that on their mind is so blinded they just can't see it? They can't even see their lost condition. Oh, they can give mental assent. I see little bumper stickers from blind people spiritually that say that heaven don't want me and hell is afraid I'll take over. What a prideful, terrible mistake someone is making with their eternal soul. Someone actually told me one time, I know I'm going to hell, but I won't be along. All my friends are going to be there, and we're going to have such a party. I'm going to tell you something. There are no parties in hell. Jesus heard the awful sound of the lost, and believe me, there's no partying with buddies and friends in hell. He said there's weeping, there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. Friend, I'm so glad to be declaring to you today, it's not God's will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. He's made a way for us to be saved. He's made a way for you to be saved. And if the person who told me that they could speak of hell so lightly, if they really saw, if they understood and saw what they're blinded to, they would be falling on their face and crying out to God. Intercession must be persistent, not to persuade God, for redemption is of God, but because of the enemy. Because Satan yields only what and when he must, and he renews his attacks in subtle ways. Therefore, prayer must be definite, and it must be persisted in. Even long after definite results seem to be seen, we must hold what is taken for God against the enemy until such time as that soul is firmly established in the faith. I had a family member that after years has come to know Christ as his personal Savior. And he said to me the other day, in fact, it was at my mother's funeral that I was conducting. He said to me, "Dad," because it was my son. I'll go ahead and name him. He's not ashamed of what has happened in his life. He said, Dad, don't stop praying for me. Because he's wanting to get his footing. He's wanting to get established in the Lord. And the enemy wants to try to pull him back. So I have renewed my prayer efforts in behalf of my own loved one. Because I understand the works of the enemy, but I also understand the mighty power of my God, and I understand the mighty brightness of His great kingdom. And I know that people that are saved have been swept out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Praise the Lord. God has love and power to save. There's no doubt about that. Do we have the compassion and commitment to pray for the lost? Listen, if you've been listening to this broadcast today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that right now, right where you are, that you will prepare yourself for a prayer that's been prayed ever since Jesus went to the cross. It's called the Sinner's Prayer, and it's been probably prayed in a million different ways, but it contains the same elements. That is, that we repent of our sin, we change our mind about our sin, we call upon the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Amen. And Christ comes in to the heart that is sincere. And He works from the inside out to change our life and to change our destiny. And if you're a Christian today, praise the Lord. Here's how we need to pray in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. We claim their deliverance from the power and persuasion of the evil one, from the love of the world and the lust of the flesh. That's what we pray for. And God hears. And God is mighty to save and mighty to answer prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many people think the Titanic was a ship that couldn't sink. But on that tragic night in 1912, the ship struck an iceberg and sank. And many died in that cold Atlantic Ocean. The scene outside the White Star office in Liverpool beggared description. A great crowd of relatives of those who had taken passage on that ill-fated vessel thronged the street. On either side of the main entrance, a large board had been placed. Above was printed, "Known to be saved" on one side, and on the other, "Known to be lost." Listen, friend, I want you to know today that you're in one category or the other. You're either known to be lost right now or known to be saved. But I'm here to tell you today, you have an opportunity for your destiny to be changed. And I believe the Holy Spirit is working. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. And I believe right now, if you will repent of your sin and call upon the name of the Lord, a scripture will be fulfilled that as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ah, friend, today I believe scales are falling from eyes and people are calling upon the Lord right now. And Jesus is coming into that heart. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian today, join us in intercession for the lost. Pray for a mighty revival so many souls can be swept into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you today. Amen. Be sure and come back next week. and let's talk about Jesus.